While human beings tend to disagree about sports, politics, and a myriad of other things, there's something that unites us here in the Wasatch Back, and that is the incredible wildlife we live with. Whether it's baby twin moose frolicking all over town or the majestic elk that graze in the fields, wildlife is a common passion and saving them a common goal. In 2015, a number of Park City residents were very alarmed by all the wildlife vehicle collisions that were happening at the gateway to Park City along I-80. So they decided to do something about it and formed a nonprofit called Save People, Save Wildlife. Their incredible efforts and fundraising resulted in the wildlife crossing at Parley Summit, the first of its kind in this area. Now they are putting their sights on 224 as well as the intersection of 80 and 40. And I had a chance to sit down with Aaron Ferguson and Tom Farkas, two board members of Save People, Save Wildlife, to hear about their next Safe Passage initiatives. Let's listen to our conversation. Thank you guys both for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, I know that your organization has been responsible for so much, including, of course, the Parley Summit Wildlife Crossing Bridge. You also were able to get those silhouettes that you see when you drive into town of the moose and the baby moose and the elk and the deer. So how did you come to be this organization, and tell me where you guys are with your mission statement and how things are going?
So our mission is to reduce and prevent wildlife vehicle collisions on our roadways. 10 years ago, we started our nonprofit from the beginning, donor-supported, community-supported. We have the Parley's Wildlife Overpass to show for it, and now we're focused on 224 as the next roadway to remedy. DWR was instrumental in determining the location. UDOT got federal monies for the overpass itself. It was $5 million in 2018. Mm-hmm. And a study by Utah State University during the pandemic years showed that the return on investment for that $5 million is $15 million. So it's paid for itself three times over already.
In what way? How do they determine that?
The cost crash criteria for hitting an animal. So first responders, medical expenses, all those things piled into one go into determining their cost crash criteria for it's more expensive to hit a moose than it is a deer, for example, because the size.
The current data shows that if there's just minor damage to the vehicle, it's a couple thousand dollars. But if there is death or serious injury, UDOT has tagged that value at $4.7 million.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people realized there was a huge crash last year. You were mentioning it. I was stuck in that. Every artery was backed up. It was the craziest thing.
Right at where 40 meets 80, mm-hmm. an elk was hit, a couple passenger cars involved, and then a semi-tanker swerved to miss the elk and the passenger cars that were involved. The tanker rolled, spilling crude oil into Bittner Creek. The person died that the tanker landed on is what the outcome was. But in a matter of minutes, a wildlife vehicle collision resulting in the death of an elk, eventual death of the person later that day, environmental hazard, economic backup because the freeway was closed for most of the day. It all could have been avoided if wildlife fencing and crossings were in that location where the elk frequent, Swanner Preserve over to Silver Creek and back.
We have to thank UDOT because they are now putting in fencing in that area.
I saw that the other day.
Yeah,
so
our mission originally when we started to try to protect the vehicle wildlife collisions on I-80 was close the gap, the fencing gap between Parley Summit and Silver Creek. And we worked for years co-funding with UDOT to have that fencing put in. And then when our donors said, well, the fencing's really UDOT's job, we would either have you put our resources toward the silhouettes. And the fencing stopped just beyond Kimball Junction heading towards Silver Creek. But after that accident, UDOT said, okay, fine, we're going to put in the fencing. They got the funding, and they're putting in fencing on both sides. Hopefully, they'll close the gap up to Silver Creek.
Can I ask a quick question before I forget?
Yep.
When you put a fence up and you have a migration pattern, what happens to the animals? Do they figure out a different way to go? I mean, is it...
Well, the intent of fencing is to direct them to a safe crossing across the highways.
Got it.
That's the Parley Summit. Fencing there guides the animals to the crossing. So we probably do need another crossing in the area of 40 and 80. We need some sort of measures to help reduce the number of vehicle wildlife collisions on SR 224. SR 224 has a higher concentration of vehicle-wildlife collisions is an even I-80. In the study that was done, published in 2019, it was done by UDOT, they ranked the 25 worst hotspot locations in the state. SR-224 was the fifth worst. I-80 here at Kimball Junction was the 18th worst. So the intensity on 224 is much more significant than on I-80. But we've been collecting data since then, 2024, 2025, we're doing it now in 2026, having data that shows that the situation now is actually twice as bad as when they made the decision not to do anything because the complexity outweighed the severity. When it's bad enough, that's when it's time to do something about it. Americans are geniuses. We have lots of ways of solving any kind of problem. Mm-hmm. So even though there may be complexity on 224, we should be smart enough to figure out how to come up with a solution. Say people save wildlife with funding from the community.
Thank you.
Hired. Mm-hmm. Famous landscape architect that's done crossings throughout the world and most recently the Wallenberg in California. Mm-hmm. We wanted an independent entity to do an evidence-based engineering assessment of what would be reasonable solutions for reducing vehicle wildlife collisions on 224. Well, now we're in the second phase of that study, so we don't have the answer yet.
Okay.
Because these people are not just looking, well, what should we do if we did a crossing or an underpass or whatever? We want to make sure we're not doing anything that would be more detrimental to the surrounding environment. They've gone back and done a historical view of Park City on why we are here, what motivates us, what our economic driving force has been.
Wow.
From way back, what started in 1900 or something?
Yeah, 1890s.
Well, we know mining, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
So, did they find any surprises in that?
We drained the Snyderville Basin. It used to be a body of water. We drained it for agricultural uses and mining.
Uh-huh.
And then enter the recreation component after the mining kind of phased out. People started flooding in.
Mm-hmm.
And then those developments, recreational, residential, businesses, we've basically squeezed the wildlife out of their original areas that they inhabited.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still here. They're still following those daily movements back and forth across the roads that we put in.
All of Snyderville Basin is a wildlife habitat. And we have, actually, it's a state law, moose, elk, and deer are protected species. The only place that they're not protective is crossing our highways. If we do nothing over the next 10 years, Utahns will spend $32 million in the result of vehicle-wildlife collisions.
Okay.
Things have gotten so bad that the cost to fix them have gotten so high that maybe the cost at that level will be enough of a motivation to actually have something done.
Once the study's done and the numbers are there, you can't go against the numbers,
Well,
then what? Then what's the roadblock?
Like, unfortunately, a lot of the studies, if you don't like the results, you still do question that data.
Yeah.
So it's not like, well, this is the gospel.
So we're fostering these new relationships. We're bringing people together, you know, Park City and Summit County, like Tom mentioned. UDOT, DWR, and High Valley Transit even was at our workshop last summer. So everyone's weighing in. What ROC's goal is for this area is we want to create a signature piece that's the solution to the wildlife vehicle collision problem. It's a signature piece for Park City. People will say, oh my gosh, that's the bridge that's in Park City. It'll be recognizable.
Okay.
You know, like the Arch in St. Louis or the Champs-Élysées in Paris or something. It'll be associated with us.
That's the
ROC
is the architect?
Robert ROC is his name.
Okay.
So his firm is ROC Design Associates.
Got it.
Because it could be an underpass or it could be some other strategy to reduce the vehicle wildlife collisions.
Oh.
But they're saying if it were a bridge, it would be a Hallmark bridge.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Just the, like the Wallenbergs.
What is the Wallenberg?
The Wallace Annenberg crossing in LA for the Cougars. 10 lanes it has to span. So that was a heroic feat of engineering.
Wow.
And cooperation with, you know, obviously the philanthropic donors, but Caltrans. And the sooner we put it in, the less expensive the initial investment will be. But the sooner we can reap those returns on investment, like the Parley's Overpass has indicated, three times over, it's already paid for itself. So that's the incentivization for that. The Wallace Annenberg crossing was named after Wallace Annenberg because They were the largest donor. Mm-hmm. So now that opportunity affords itself. We can have philanthropic donors if they're willing to put a certain amount. Can actually get it. If it is a bridge, they can get it named. We've taken a new perspective with this collaborative effort with Rock Design Associates coming on board. We're taking kind of a back seat, saying we'll be the liaison to the community for you. Rock and his team are talking with the experts, and they conducted the workshop, and we were attendees.
So, I see. Cool.
So it's very much a teach us, let us learn more as much as we can. How can we help you help us?
Mm-hmm. What happens next?
Well, we're doing phase two is camera studies. Rather than just have the data on wildlife vehicle collision victims, we want to see the actual movements that these animals do day to day. So this will say, okay, if we're getting the most traffic in this location, let's see, would that be a best location for an underpass, overpass, wildlife motion detection technology?
And obviously the Olympics are hovering out there.
Correct.
So. Exactly.
I would imagine they would want something.
The only way we think we're going to be successful is to have a fully collaborative effort.
Right.
So we think it needs to have UDOT, DWR, Summit County, Park City, High Valley Transit, the
Utah
community.
Utah Olympic Committee.
involved. And so when we had that first workshop with Rock, all those people participated.
We're prioritizing human connectivity with, you know, improving transit and improving traffic situations and improving our roads. But let's not forget the animals that also use this roadway to cross back and forth. So let's connect these areas of open space, protect these new babies, and we can be the community that makes that solid effort in a timely manner.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Got it.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity,
yes,
Andrea. Thank you so much.
Thank you.